I can tell you, okay, it is extremely strange to me that a member of any American presidential campaign would be speaking to Russian intelligence officials. And it's particularly bizarre given the fact that we know that Russian intelligence officials broke into the DNC, stole documents, and handed them to WikiLeaks for the purpose of hurting Hillary Clinton and helping Donald Trump. The parallels to Watergate here are eerie.
That is Robbie Mook, who still can't figure out why Hillary Clinton lost, because it was under his strategy that she did lose. And that was an election to lose. She walked into it with 230 electoral votes, ended up with less. Joining us now is Roger Stone. He's written a best-selling book called The Making of the President in 2016, How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution. He's been with Donald Trump for decades when Donald Trump was just thinking about running, early as back as the 80s and 90s. And Roger Stone is one of the people that has been alleged to have contact with Russian intelligence and government officials during the campaign. Roger, welcome back.
Great to be here, Brian. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, Paul Manafort categorically denied. He was also named as one of the four. What did you do in the name of Donald Trump, if anything, with Russian officials?
Nothing whatsoever. See, there's the fundamental problem of Mr. Mook's attack. He says when presidential campaign operatives are meeting with foreign government officials or intelligence officials, and there is no proof whatsoever anywhere, Brian, that has actually happened. The deep state and those who would like to undermine Donald Trump have been pushing a false narrative, but there is no proof. What we have from the CIA are their assessments and their estimates and their projections, but no proof.
But when you saw your name pop up in this story, Roger, how did your name pop up in the story?
They have claimed that I, because of my tweets and because of my long personal relationship with Donald Trump, they reached the conclusion, I think largely also because of my association with Paul Manafort and the fact that we both worked in the Ukraine. I worked for a small Western pro-U.S. Orange Revolution Party. Manafort worked for a different party, the Party of Regions. We were on opposite sides. Nonetheless, we were partners. So some may assume a communication, but I can tell you I have no Russian clients. I spoke to no Russians. I had no financial transactions involving Russians. It's just a canard. It's an excuse for winning the election. And it's the hysteria, Brian, of the Central Intelligence Agency and the Pentagon and other these deep institutions that are a government unto themselves, who are aghast that Donald Trump is going to clean house and start running a better country.
Well, we know
run the country into the ground.
Well, we know General Flynn picked up the phone and called Russian officials at least once. We know at the 10-year anniversary of the RIT, which is Russian television, he was there sitting next to Vladimir Putin. I know General Flynn. He actually wrote very critically of Russia and their role in the world today in this Field of Fight book. But there was definitely links, and there was definitely a phone call. Roger, there's never been a phone call between Roger Stone and any Russian official?
No Russian whatsoever. I don't know any Russians, and I don't know anybody who is trying to act as an intermediary or even could be an intermediary for the Russians. I'm being careful about who I deal with in this. So, look, I welcome any kind of fair, impartial investigation. I'm willing to testify under oath in public about this, and I'm sure the deep state's already been through my emails and my financial transactions, and all they're going to find is that I have no contacts whatsoever with the Russians anybody representing or fronting for them.
Will you be surprised if Roger Stone isn't involved with the Russians? The conclusion is there was sustained contact, consistent contact between the Trump campaign and Russia during the election.
And that is simply not true. That is a false narrative. Look, I think I can tell you why, Brian.
What?
The guys at the Central Intelligence Agency and at the Pentagon and Hillary Clinton's, many of her supporters, were counting on her commitment to expand the proxy war in Syria. War is big business for some, and the neocons have set us on a course of endless war. Along comes Donald Trump, who is more interested in detente. He'd rather sit down with a strong man, being a strong man himself, and see if he can't hammer out a deal where we can live together in peace. Then perhaps we could use our money rather than on missiles and tanks and guns to kill each other once we strengthen our military, but on roads and bridges and tunnels and schools and hospitals and our infrastructure, our airports, which are crumbling.
Well, let me ask you something. You believe that Reince Priebus, you said this is Pearl Harbor. You were quoted as saying Mike Flynn's dismissal is Pearl Harbor for Trump loyalists. What do you mean by that?
Well, let me be very clear. General Flynn broke no laws, none whatsoever. However, it was established that were broken by those who leaked government eavesdropping on U.S. citizens, a government official at that, that's highly confidential, punishable by 10 years in jail. So there is a crime here, but the crime is not by General Petraeus. I think he could have apologized to the president, apologized to the nation for a lapse in judgment. Let's be clear what this call was about. He was calling to say that the new president of the United States wanted to arrange a call with the new president of Russia. And according to the New York Times story, when the Russians said, well, we want to talk about sanctions, he got the Jersey brush off. He said, yeah, well, I can't talk about that now. When can we set up the call? So where's the crime? This is a cover-up without a crime.
So why is he gone?
Well, I think that he was – that unfortunately, the president may have been stampeded. He's very, very important to him that he had the trust of the people. I'm not sure that he did know that General Flynn committed no crimes. But I think some of the establishment Republicans who had their own motive in getting rid of the general because he is a key ally of those who favor a harder line on radical Islam, for example. So I think he was targeted. Yes, I think we have.
So do you believe when you say establishment, you think Reince Priebus?
Yes, I think the people that he has chosen are obviously leaking like a sieve. When you read in the Washington Post that the president is like a clueless child, when you read in the New York Times that the president is sitting in a shabby bathrobe watching television in the family quarters, then someone in the building is not serving you well. No Trump loyalist would say those things, true or not true. That's what happens when you hire, Republican National Committee alum who were interested in the next political job. They weren't for Donald Trump before the convention. They were barely for him afterwards. Some of them weren't for him at all.
Roger, have you been questioned by the CIA or anybody?
I have never been informed of an investigation by the government or any governmental issues. I have never been told that there is allegedly a secret grand jury. But I welcome any forum that would allow me to demonstrate that this is a public relations farce.
Do you question?
I don't know. I don't know this Carter, this fellow, this third. I don't
Carter
know who
Page.
He is. Do not know Mr. Page. Never met him. Couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. I think that he got on some 100-member Trump issue advisory committee, and he's parlayed that into being Mr. Russia.
Roger Stone, he's got a book out about this whole Trump candidacy. He was there first and says he's innocent. Thanks.